I invite you, as we just before entering into Holy Communion, prepare for it, to overhear the words of Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 33, as he spoke, as it's called in all the prophets, the Devar Yahweh, the words of the Lord, the oracles, as it's also called, of God. And we find there in the 14th verse of chapter 43, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, yesterday was the first day, for those of you who might know, of deer season. Many look forward to this day with anticipation, maybe thinking about it for months beforehand. For me, it's like a family type of tradition, almost, just like Thanksgiving. My son and his son now. For the first time, his son joined us on the hunt. All I did was get stuck in brambles, and so I have all kinds of nicks and scrapes from falling down through them on me. But it was a fun time to be together. To me, that's really the essence of it, is just to be together. Others aren't just looking for a trophy buck. What they're looking for, others are, is simply hoping to be able to feed their families with a nutritious protein that venison provides. Two different perspectives. Think about that, on the same event. Hoping for success in the field, but from a position, one of want and the other of need. Jeremiah lived in a time of anticipation, of hope for a better future. Beginning, as someone pointed out, when Jeremiah probably would have been a junior in high school. Kind of interesting, I think, to put Jeremiah as sort of in that perspective for us. It was around 627 BC when he received the call to go to Jerusalem, and the leaders of the southern kingdom, as it was called, a century beforehand, during Isaiah's time, the northern kingdom, Israel, as it was called, had been conquered by the Assyrians. And now, during Jeremiah's time, the southern kingdom lay in peril. And Jeremiah was warning of an impending judgment which was about to become. In chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Before I formed you to Jeremiah in the womb, I knew you." The word of the Lord had came to him. "Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah, in hearing this, thinking about who he was, said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know even how to speak. I am too young But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And so it was that in obedience to this call, Jeremiah went to the leaders. It wasn't an easy task for him, you know. He got imprisoned. He had to flee from the wrath of these human kings and leaders. He ended up at one point living in a cave. But nonetheless, he went. I don't know about any of you, but sometimes when we hear a call, it's not going to lead us in an easy path, is it? But it would be woe betide to us if we didn't heed that call, wouldn't it? Jeremiah's task was similar, and he persevered in that. The times were evil. Egypt threatened from the south. Babylon was rising from the east. These were Jeremiah's times. And the kings, unfortunately, following a faithful king, Josiah, felt caught between this vice grip of one or the other, Egypt or rising Babylon. And from 609 onward to Jerusalem's final conquest at the hands of the Babylonians in 586, were disastrous kings for the southern kingdom. One after another, three kings, Jehoiakim, and lastly, the fourth, Zedekiah, all tried to fall in alliance with either Egypt or Babylon. To worship the idols of those who would be their conquerors, and the fleeting hope of salvation and these earthly means, alliances and idolatry. Jeremiah's unfortunate task was to bring God's message of judgment for such unfaithfulness to them. The covenant was broken. Conquest and captivity is the only thing that lay before Judah as a consequence to their unfaithfulness. I find it an interesting parallel that, we're tempted too by what the world offers, what the world seems to demand, in fact, at times, of compromising ourselves so that we can just get along to get along. But you know, a similar fate would lie before us as well. Unfaithfulness, idolatry, brings judgment. And that's the theme of the season, in fact, of Advent. Either stand with this the remnant that stood on God's side, or face judgment. For those who stood with the Lord, this prophecy says the name by which you will be called is the Lord, is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. You know, as Jesus the Messiah came, born in that lowly, lowly manger of Bethlehem, when he comes again, he will come again with the sword of judgment in one hand, with righteousness in the other. And this is a reminder to us, those who believe, what is it that Paul in so many of his letters writes again and again and again for a message to us? Look not to yourselves for righteousness, but look to the Lord for your righteousness. It's not by our own works, but it's by God's work that righteousness is given to us. The fancy word, if you want to know it, is imputed to us, imparted to us. Thus says the Lord, the prophecy continues earlier. It says, who made the earth and the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. That's actually the sacred name that's used there of the Lord. Call to him the name by which we cannot pronounce it. So sacred is it. Call to me and I will answer you, and will tell you of great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah that were torn down, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at the first. And I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me. And I will forgive them of all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. This, the prophecy, would take 480 years odd more to find its fulfillment in the manger of Bethlehem. A child would be born during yet another humiliating time under the captivity of Rome, another which had to see yet even before Rome, the captivity after the conquest of Alexander the Great in the 300s. B.C. Even when we are unfaithful, though, sometimes in spectacularly incredible ways and degrees, just like these to whom the prophecy came, we are no different. But God still remains to the remnant faithful. God still is making his way for us today to come. To come to, as the prophecy calls it, the righteous sprout from David's lineage. We live in a similar time of unfaithfulness to the covenants of God, don't we? It's always the same with us today as it was then, to follow after foreign gods. But a remnant, brothers and sisters, that's why we're called that. Brother, sister. Because we, the called, are the righteousness given to us, not by desert, but because of love. The love of God for the people of God. And we have received the redemption of God. So let us never forget, in this season and always, that this is our Father's world. How does that great hymn go? Perhaps for some of you it's the most beloved of hymns. It's just about for me. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Father, as we come to receive that meal which Jesus celebrated with his disciples, yes, even in a time of great darkness, let us also, in a world too oft filled with darkness and suffering and pain, let us give light, the light of Christ, that the world might know God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Amen. If anyone, there were three left. We ran out of the communion cups that are pre-packaged that have the wafer in them. So if anyone would like to receive Holy Communion with those, somehow or other, you might feel you're just not wanting to come to the altar. There's three, so just don't fight over. You know, this isn't a buffet in which you can knock people down. And the rest of us, let's come to the table. Let's pray first.